The attitude is, you don't bother me, I won't bother you. It's clear as day that in 99% of the shuls, at least that I'm familiar with, is there's some background noise. Why is there some background noise here? Someone's listening to another shir at the same time they're listening to this shir. The minig is, you don't bother me, I don't bother you. You call up, everything is done like this. The aliyah of the Toicha is done no different than any other aliyah. The Gavai says Ya'amoid, he calls up the name of the person who is laning, the Balkuya, and he makes the Bracha Rishonah, the Bracha Acharona, and then after he finishes, he makes the Misha Berach. Okay, so I always thought in my little mind, the reason why there are some shuls in the Mishnah Berurah that says it's the Mechaber, it's the Ramah, and it's the Mishnah Berurah, and there's a Ber Halacha, there was a minog, there used to be such a minog of Ya'amoid Mi Sheyirtze. Whoever wants should come up. Ya'amoid Mi Sheyirtze. Now, there's a debate as what exactly the Mechaber means with those words. Does he mean to say that it's a quotation? The Gabbai says, Ya'amoid. He's making an announcement. Ya'amoid Mi Sheyirtze. You look around the shul, whoever wants to come up, come up. And sometimes maybe you'll have five people who want to come up. So what are they going to do? Five people want to take this aliyah? I don't know. They'll have to have a duel. They'll have to do something in order to decide amongst themselves who's going to take the aliyah. Usually it seems that no one wants to take the aliyah, and halavai, one person would want to take it. Why would one person want to take it? I don't know. For whatever reason, he wants to take it. The Mishnah Berurah seems to say that's not necessarily what it means. Yalam Yishayirtze means that the Gabbai, it's not a quotation. It doesn't mean that the Gabbai should say the words, Ya'amoid Mishayirtze. Before davening begins, he should go around to the people in the shul and see, is there anyone here that would be willing to take it? Don't force it upon somebody. Ask someone, would you like to take the Toicha? We need someone. Yes.
Maybe this was in the time when everyone had to lay their own aliyah and not everybody was prepared to
It doesn't matter. Either you're saying you don't want to lay to another person. I hear what you're saying. You're saying an idea. Let's assume now not. I hear what you're saying. But it seems already by the time of the Mechaber and the Ramah, already people were ready, there was a Baal Kriya. There was a Chazan. I think he's in the Koyre. There's a Koyre. The Mechaber talks about not the Baal Koyre. He's called the Koyre. In the words of the Shulchan Aruch, there's no such thing as a Baal Koyre. There's a Koyre. Why? Because the word Koyre automatically means you're the Baal. So the Medaktikim, they're very makbid not to say a Baal Koyre. They say the Baal Kriya. They don't want to say Baal, they'll make fun of you. So anyone who makes fun of you because you say Baal Kriya, ask them, is who in your shul, what do you call the person who blows tekiyas? The Baal Tokea. Whatever problem you have with saying Baal Koyre, you have the same exact problem calling him the Baal Tokea. He should be called the Baal HaTekiyah. The Baal HaTekiyah, or call him the Tokea. The Tokea. Call him the Tokea, or call him the Baal HaTekiyah, but not the Baal Tokea. And yet everyone calls him the Baal Tokea. So no one has a problem with that. The Baal Tzila. Well, that's okay, because it's on the Tzila. He's the Baal of the Tzila. That's good. That's like saying the Baal Kriya. Saying the Baal Tefillah is like saying the Baal Kriya, or saying the Baal Tekiyah. But to say the Baal Koyre, the Koyre is the Baal. It's redundant. So to say the Baal Tokeya is also redundant. So it doesn't mean anything. I once have a very big expert who really knows this stuff really well. He says to me, it really doesn't mean anything. It's just an expression. He says to me, it's no different than saying the White House. You let's go open the radio. The White House has issued a statement. Since when does a house that's
very,
white...
Very good Bart Fila, very good Bart Kia, and like Baal HaLomot. What does it mean? Who owns the HaLomot?
A Baal Tekiyah. A Baal Tekiyah, but not a Baal Tokeya. Okay, it's an expression. It's an expression. It means totally nothing. This person is a big medakdek. He told me he means totally nothing. It's like saying the White House issued a statement today. Yeah, since when does a house that's colored white issue a statement? It doesn't make any sense. What does that mean? If you come from another planet and they say the White House issued a statement, what? What does that mean? It means the authority of the President of the United States, which is represented with the symbol of living in the White House, the president spoke. That's all it means. So it's an expression. It means nothing. Don't chop everyone with diktuk. Some things are meant to be expressions. When you're learning from the Torah, you better know your mila el, your mila ra, and your shvanon, your shvanachs. But when you talk colloquially, you can say whatever you want to say. You can say he's the baal tekeh. It's no big deal. But going back to our topic. So let's assume now that Rabbi Nyman, there's a reader, and you're getting the aliyah. So some, I think the Mishnah Berurah, the Be'er Halacha really once said that when it says in Shulchan Aruch that Ya'amod mi she'yirtz, it does not mean that you make an announcement. Ya'amod mi she'yirtz. What it means is before davening begins, you go around to shul and you ask someone, would you be so kind to get the aliyah for the Teichacha? Because when it comes to a regular aliyah, you don't have to ask him. If you're the gabbai, you look around, and you make a decision, and you don't ask the people. You, Ya'amoid Avraham Yitzchak ben Avraham. Excuse me, I didn't ask you for an aliyah. Well, too bad. I'm the gabbai. I have the right to force it upon you. And now you're going to pay. You're going to give a mishanodar. Okay, you know, I could force it upon you. That's the way it goes. But when it comes to the toichecha, it's not derech eretz. It's not derech eretz to force the aliyah of the toichecha upon a petitioner.
It should sell it.
Oh, so it's not such a big idea. Okay. It's not.
This is important.
You don't. Then they'll think it's support, right? You can't force. So it means you find out who's willing to take it, and then when it comes time for the aliyah, you say Ya'amoid Yitzchak ben Avraham, finished, because he already agreed before davening that he will take the aliyah. You don't just go force it upon him. So it doesn't necessarily mean, there are two translations to the words, Ya'amoid mi sheyirtze. Either it's assumed to be an exact quote. The gabbai stands there by the bima, Ya'amoid mi sheyirtze, and everyone looks around. Ooh, who's going to be the guy that's going to walk up here and be willing to take it? And what happened is...
usually it's a gabbai or even the rabbi takes it.
Right, well, though today is different. I told you, this is all a result of generations of fighting. So let's just focus on what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Today I told you, the minig is pasha. This is the minig today. This has become the standard minig in almost every single shul, is the Baal Kariya, the one who lanes, takes the aliyah, and you make no big deal about it. He calls him up by his name. He makes the brachos. When he finishes the brachos, he makes the misha berach, and you go weiter. And no one blinks. Vizehu, you don't make a big deal about it. But years ago, they did make a big deal about it. And years ago, it says in the Mechaber, you should say Ya'amoid misha yirtze. And we have a debate as to what those words mean. Does it mean you just say misha yirtze and you look around, and whoever comes up? What happened is over the years, the Mishnah Berurah says no one wanted to come up. No one wanted to take it, because since Pavel, Ya'amoid misha yirtze, it's like you're confessing to the whole tzibur that I'm a choyte, I'm a sinner, I deserve to be cursed. No one wants to do that. No one's interested. So no one would take the aliyah, and the Sefer Torah would be mutl bebezoyin, would just be sitting there, and no one, until someone, they would agree to take it. And then out of that evolved the minute I told you where they would go, and they would pay somebody. They would pay someone to take the aliyah. So we learned yesterday a new chiddush, that the original meaning of paying someone to take the aliyah is not out of a bezoyin, because no one wants it. No, it's because in order to take away the stigma, if a person does it for free, oh, it comes to me. It means I'm a cursed person. It comes to me. Chas v'shalom, to say such a thing. So then there's a stigma. But when you're doing it for money, it's just a job. It's a job. This is the toichachos for the tzibur. It's mussar. Don't reject the mussar. And just like the Baal Tefillah gets paid, and just like the rabbi gets paid, and just like the gabbai gets, this one gets paid, when the shuls that get paid, whatever it is, it's just a job. It's a job. By taking the money goes to the satan. The satan gets the money, and the tzibur goes free. It was never meant, paying a person, to be a technique in order to be mevazeh, the sefer, no one wants it, so we'll go and we'll pay for money. You can get anything. You can get a soine betza. You can buy for money everything. You can even buy a dayan who's a soine betza for enough money. And this is just a joke. You can buy anything. So you get, that's not the pshat. By paying money to the service, you transfer the negativity of whatever this thing is all about. It disappears, it dissipates, because it's viewed in the eyes of the tzibur as just, it has to be done. It's for the tzibur, and the person who's doing it is just an employee. Big deal. Not him, someone else. Everyone needs money, so it's not a big deal. Unfortunately, people don't look at it like that anymore. And that's why we cut that out. We cut that out. Now, here's another new insight, which is totally new to me about the Toicha. And that is the only one that's really in danger. This is something very strange. I saw this in the Nitei Gavriel, if I'm not mistaken, and what he says there. There's a lot of fascinating things he has there in the footnotes. And he says that the only one that's really in danger, and this is a nafka min l'halacha, is the gabbai. He is the only one that's in danger. Because when the gabbai calls up somebody, when the gabbai calls up somebody for the aliyah, and the person reads it, even if he doesn't read it, there's the Baal Kriya who's reading it, but the Baal Kriya is acting as the agent of the one who gets the Aliyah, even though he's speaking to the Tzibur. Now, this is a very fascinating idea. He's primarily talking to the Gabbai. Now, let me give you a little bit of background. Let me give you some background. We at the Beam have three people. We have
the sound is not coming in clear.
Is everyone else experiencing this sound problem? You're okay? Everyone?
I have no problem but me.
It's good? Okay, Mr. Naiman, it could be that you're sick. Because, you know, sometimes, Mr. Naiman, when you speak, there's also a difficulty in sometimes an echo when you speak. Maybe is your
Wi-Fi, because my Wi-Fi. I don't know.
Is your I don't know. Right. Okay. The other people are saying that it's okay, that the sound is okay. Maybe if you okay. could move to a different location, we'll see what happens. Okay. Let me give you some background. At the Bima, there are three people. There's the Gabbai, the Koirei, and the Oyla. The Gabbai who calls up, the Koirei who reads, and the Oyla, the person who's getting the Aliyah. Chazal say these three people every Kriyas HaTorah is a miniature, a reenactment of Matan Torah. At Matan Torah, there were three primary partners. There was the Ribbono Shel Olam, he gave the Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu was the intermediary. And Klal Yisrael with the Mekablim. The Gabbai stands in place of the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Koirei, the one who reads the Torah, he stands in place of Moshe Rabbeinu. And the one that gets the Aliyah is Klal Yisrael. Okay, there are three. It's a play. It's a Broadway play, Kriyas HaTorah. We're recreating Matan Torah. Who would you want to be? You want to be the Gabbai? You want to be the Ribbono Shel Olam? Who here wants to be the Ribbono Shel Olam? Hashem is very busy. I don't know if he can handle his job. Who wants to be Moshe Rabbeinu? Moshe Rabbeinu has a lot of issues. Klal Yisrael has a lot of, he gave him a hard time. You want to be Klal Yisrael? Okay, not so bad. Okay, there are three partners. I once told the Gabbai, I once lained in a certain place for a tekufa, period of time, and there was a very good Gabbai, and he would help me with the laning, he was really good. And one week, he doesn't show up, gone. There was a substitute. The substitute didn't know what he was doing. It was a disaster, but whatever, he was a sus. So the next week I said to the Gabbai, you know, the Gabbai is in place of the Ribbono Shel Olam. It says in the Pasuk, Lo yelcha Elohim acherim al panai. I don't want to have any other god. You're not allowed to have only the Ribbono. Don't send substitutes. Elohim acherim. No substitutes. Only the real deal. These are the three. Now, when Moshe Rabbeinu, so the Gabbai calls up. Moshe Rabbeinu is reading. Who is Moshe reading to? He's really reading to Klal Yisrael. The background that I'm giving you is not really correct. It's really a raya the other way around. But Moshe Rabbeinu is reading to Klal Yisrael. Hashem is the giver. Moshe the Baal Kriya is reading to the representative. Hey, that's the Pashup Shat. In this idea, it's a little bit different. It's all in the mind, but it's a different approach. The Gabbai is an extremely important person who stands there by the bima. When he calls you up for an aliyah, really you're supposed to learn, like Mr. Rabbi Nyman said, really you're supposed to learn. Today we don't do that. Today there's a koyre who basically does it for you. But when the Baal Kriya does it for you, it's as if you're doing it. You're doing it. Who are you speaking to? You're speaking to the Gabbai. The Baal Kriya is reading the parasha to the Gabbai. The Tzibur is eavesdropping. They're listening to an open, a hot mic. They're listening to a conversation. What I just told you now is completely different than the stand. The standard is there are three representatives. It's a Kabbalah Satorah. But there's another Mahalach. This is what it says in the Gavriel. It's a Pile Ploim what it says there. And it's nafgamina when it comes to the Toichacha. Pile Ploim. The Gabbai calls you up. You know why he's calling you up? Because he's asking you to please read to me. Read to me. Who cares about the Tzibur? Forget about them. Who cares about them? This is a private session here between me and you. Ya'amoid Yitzchak ben Avraham. You get up here. I want you to teach me a chavrusa shaft. A chavrusa shaft here at the Amud, what it says in the Torah. A chavrusa shaft. Read me what it says here in this aliyah here. I want to know what's going on. He gets up and he says, uh-oh, I don't know how to read. Okay, you come here, Baal Kriya, read it for me. So the Baal Kriya reads it. But I make the Baal Kriya my representative. So basically, the one that gets the aliyah through the agency of the Baal Kriya is teaching the Gabbai what it says in the Torah. What about everyone else in this place? There are 1,000 people in the audience. All you guys can listen to the conversation. Don't butt in. You can listen. You can eavesdrop on our private conversation. Isn't that an incredible way to look at Kriyas HaTorah? A private conversation between the Gabbai and the Oila? And everyone else just listens? Well, guess what? That's exactly what Matan Torah was. Matan Torah pretty much was the Ribbono Shel Olam speaking to Moshe Rabbeinu, and everyone else was listening. Hashem wasn't speaking directly to them. The first two Dibros, maybe, yes. The first two Dibros, Anochi V'lo Yelecha, yes. That appears that Moshe Hashem spoke to Klal Yisrael directly. But then they told Moshe, no more, we can't do this anymore. Okay, fine, I'll Hashem should speak to you and you'll speak, but you still have to come. Okay, Hashem will speak to me, but you have to come also and listen to listen to the conversation. You're not going to be spoken to directly, so you're not going to be afraid. If Hashem is looking you in the eye, it's a pachat pechadim. You're gonna.
The Gabriel's own chiddush.
No. He doesn't say his own chiddush. The Gabriel. The Gabriel is a malachi. He almost never. I shouldn't say he doesn't. What he does a lot. This is really the first, not the first time, but I really got into his stuff. I really like his stuff because his stuff is way off the beaten path. His stuff, most of his stuff is not practical. I mean, for at least for Litvaks, maybe the Hasidim a little bit more. It's just a collection of fascinating things, which many things we don't do today. We don't even have an appreciation, but through reading his stuff, you learn new appreciation for what we at least what we do. And this is a whole new way of looking at Kriyas HaTorah. And this is mamash really the way it happened. The way it happened, Matan Torah was not the first two Dibrois, but the last eight Dibrois. Klal Yishol said to Moshe, you, if Hashem looks us in the eye and speaks to us, we're gone, we're done. We can't do this. So Moshe told this to Hashem, in fact. That's the Pesukim are not 100%, there's a conversation, the Pesukim, but many of us learned that's the whole essence of Aseres HaDibros. Hashem said, excellent! Halavai, they should be afraid of me. That's very, very good. Let's do this. And Hashem spoke to Moshe, and everyone had to be present to eavesdrop, to listen to the conversation. So Kriyas HaTorah, in this respect, this is not a popular approach to Kriyas HaTorah. We look at Kriyas HaTorah, the average person is, the Baal Kriya is speaking to you, you. He's speaking directly to everyone. Absolutely. That's the way we look at it. But there's another dimension. The other dimension is he's not speaking to you. He's speaking to the Gabbai. The Gabbai calls him up. You call the person, you read. Tell me what it says here. I don't know how to read. All right, so get someone to help you read. Okay, this guy, he'll read for me. I'll make the brachas, he'll read for me. So when the reader is reading to the Gabbai, it's as if the person who gets the Aliyah is teaching the Gabbai, is speaking to the Gabbai. Private conversation, and everyone else is listening. So therefore, if you take this approach to its natural conclusion, who is in danger? No one's in danger from the Toicha. It's a foolish thing to say that. No one's in danger. But we have a stigma. We have this mishagas. The Toicha, gefährliche things, what it says there. If you want to say, I don't want to get the Toicha, I'm afraid. Who's in danger? You know who's in danger? The Gabbai is in danger. He's the only one that's really in danger. Because he tells you, tell me, I want you to tell me what it says. What does it say here? So he's the one who's being taught. The Gabbai is in danger. Not the one who gets the Aliyah, not the one who's reading. He's the one who's in danger. So how does he save himself? How does
Gabbai insurance.
Okay, so how does the Gabbai save himself? So you know what he does? Don't call him up. Don't call him up. I'm not asking you. I never ask you for... I'm not, this should not be a private conversation. And indeed, there are shuls, I don't know which shuls, I don't know if they do because of this reason, but there is a minug, and it seems it's a popular minug, but a lot of, as I told you, today everything is one size fits all. One size fits, I once asked this to, in fact, to Rosh Shiva. I asked him about this. And he said to me with a lot of conviction, he said to me, don't play games. Don't make any new minhagim. This is the way we do it today. You don't bother it. It doesn't bother you. You get called up. You'll read and like make a misha berach like every other aliyah. That's the way we do it today. Don't go look in these old books and see these old minhagim. It's not for today's generation. Yeah.
It's brought down from the Naftali Rav Shitz.
Yeah.
He's the one they don't blame without a bracha.
Without a bracha. That's an extreme thing to do. That's way off the charts.
And I was in a shul out of town with a certain rebbe. Also, they blamed without a bracha.
Without a bracha. Okay, but I'm not even going there. I'm going to a minug, which it seems did have much more traction until recently, where you just don't call up. The Baal Kriya gets the aliyah. And the Baal Kriya makes a bracha rishayna and a bracha achrayna. The only difference is the Baal Kriya, they don't call them up. They finish the aliyah before, and they make a misha berach, and then the Baal Kriya, Baruch Hu Es Hashem HaMevarach, excuse me, no one called you up. Who says you have to call me up? What's the lundis behind that minhag? So you'll say, until I learned this, I saw this, I say, because you don't call up. You don't call someone up for the Teichacha. It's enough, you lay in the Teichacha, you have to go call them up. Not so pashit. But with this approach, the reason why you don't call them up is because you don't want to jeopardize the Gabbai. Okay? You don't want to jeopardize the Gabbai. Because the gabbai, by him calling up someone, he's saying, teach me. Teach me what it says here. I want it to be fulfilled by me, what it says here in the Torah. Oh, really? You want it? You want to know what it says? You want it? I'll give it to you. So the one that's in danger is not the one that gets the aliyah. It's not the one who reads it. It's the one who asks for it. The one who called him up. So don't call him up. So when he's talking into the wind. He's talking into the wind. And the tzibur is listening. You got no problem. Okay, that's the lundis behind the minig not to call up. The Parshup Shah, why you don't call up, I told you, is you don't call up for the Tukhi. That's like a simple svara. But it's very deep. And only when you appreciate this very unique approach to understanding what exactly is taking place at the Bima. It's a private conversation between the Gabbai and the Oila. It's a private, and everyone else, you're just listening. You're just listening to the conversation. You listen to the conversation.
A lot of shuls have different menagim.
But the pashtus is that we live in America in the melting pot, the global village of America, one size fits all, and it's just the way it is. The way it is in 90% of the shuls. I don't know, I can't give you numbers, but you don't play games. You just do what everyone else does. Ask for trouble. What are you asking for trouble? You call up the person. You make the brachas and you lay, you make a mishaberach, pashut,
v'zehu. What I recall from a number of years ago by Rabbi Lizetnik Shul, the one who got the tocha would get the aseres adibros.
Okay, very interesting. I saw another minig, the Nitigar Real cites this minig, this I never ever saw, where the one that gets a tochecha must get an aliyah on Rosh Hashanah. And why it makes sense? Because tichle shana v'kileloiseha, tochel shana u'birchoiseha. So you can't go do half a job. If you give a person the job of tichle shana v'kileloiseha, he is entitled to tochel shana. The year should begin u'birchoiseha. It's a package deal. It's not fair. So you're saying something different. They gave the aseres adibros. He doesn't say that. Nidlegu doesn't say that. But it's obviously a takeoff. It's a takeoff on this idea. Okay. So two new yisoides. Getting paid is not because it's a bezoin. Getting paid is, it's like it's just a job. People do all types of things for money. They'll sell their mother for $5 for money. Do anything. So it's not a. The stigma goes away. And number two, the inyan of calling the sakana is for the gabbai. One thing you take away from this is a gabbai is a very choshuva position. It's very sad that many shuls, the gabbai, he doesn't make the most. You know, life is just is opportunities. A levaya is an opportunity. Mark, yesterday, we had a discussion. A Rav passed away. When a Rav passes away, it's a different levaya. It's a whole different world. The Mora de Asra, it's a whole different, there's a different expectation, there's a different flavor. You have to make the most of opportunities. You know, to me, I found it very, very tragic that when Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb passed away, there was no levaya. I can't accept that even now talking to you. I cannot believe there was no levaya. It was corona. Corona, even today, people not having levayas today. But it wasn't, I'm not Chas Hashem coming to a, and they knew what they were doing. What are they going to do already? I mean, it wasn't during the most intense time of corona, but like I was thinking that when he died, I was thinking to myself, they will figure it out what to do. They'll figure out what to do. They have money and resources and a lot of brilliant minds present. He was there for 30 years, maybe more, present at Yeshiva University. Figure out. And no, they didn't. They had a private, very private ceremony. To me, it was surprising because he's public property. Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb is not the property of his family. He is owned and licensed and operated by Klal Yisrael.
Also, what happens is when a person lives into the 90s, they outlive all the contemporaries.
Right, right. Okay, that's true.
No contemporaries.
Okay, it's true. Rabbi Gribben was 93 years old. He had no contemporaries.
94.
He was 94. All right. I'm not different. I'm not coming. Moshe Rabbeinu was 120 years old. He was 120. He outlived the bull also. Yet, you know, I'm not. The Novominsky Rebbe, he died. Zero. If the Novominsky Rebbe died during normal times, they say there would have been probably 30,000 people at his Leviathan. By Rav Moshe's Leviathan, there was close to 10,000 people. They would have bussed in every single child from every single school out of, not because they knew him, out of a chinuch. Chinuch habanim. That's what you do in yeshiva. In yeshiva, you teach children that there's something called gedolei hador, and when they die, you give them kavod, and halavayit should sink into their heads that they should strive to be a gadol in Klal Yisrael, and they should appreciate, and they should make their children to gedolim. Okay, it's a technique in chinuch. When I was in elementary school, we went to a lot of levayis. The yeshiva paid good money to put us on buses. They didn't go call up our parents and say we want more money for the buses, for this, for that. They had money. The yeshiva had money. They put us on buses and they organized us and this and that. I went to a lot of levayis. It took us to a lot of levayis, and it's clear as day that. And then when the levaya was over, the next day the Rebbe sat down and he reviewed exactly what happened, what was said, and this and that. We understood absolutely nothing. Standing there outside, listening to Yiddish didn't understand a word that was said. It was an experience, no less than playing basketball, wasting your time playing basketball. So he took us to a levaya as an experience in chinuch. Okay, so Novominsky Rebbe died. It was literally zero. Zero, zero. They didn't announce anything. It was 10 people for the film, not even the family. Because that was mamish during the spitz of Corona, where nothing could have been done under any condition. That was totally impossible. Right, Lamb died already. Was different. It was already a different tikkun, but still, obviously, I'm not second-guessing anyone. Chas v'shalom, who might open up my big mouth. In fact, they had some very beautiful memorial during Shiva. During Shiva, they had like a Levaya. Pretty much, it was very close to a Levaya during Shiva. It was, you can go listen to it online. It was awesome. All right, but life is, my point is, everything in life is an opportunity. And sometimes you just, you make nothing out of it. And sometimes you maximize. A Gabbai is an incredible opportunity. An incredible opportunity to mechabed people, to say the mishaberach, the words, to clearly enunciate the words, to be fluent in being mechabed people. It's an incredible opportunity. It's really mind-boggling. And it's very sad that in many shuls, you don't see the gabayim maximize the opportunity of what a gabay allows you to do and what it represents in chazal. The Ribbono Shel Olam.
They say also that some gaboim have a shtickle ruach hakodesh. They know when a person, even though the guy didn't say anything, they know when he should get an aliyah.
Siyat d'shmaya. In a chadam, there's a certain siyat d'shmaya. A person needs an aliyah, and there's a certain siyat d'shmaya. Yeah. 100%. So, you know, you have to be a baal badrego to be zoichet, to be the instrument of Hashem, to be that person who carries out that siyat d'shmaya, that people get what they're supposed to get in the right time. You have to be a chosher person to pray. There was one time that I really was blown away was in Eretz Yisrael. I went to Eretz Yisrael, and I davened by my brother. My brother davened in Eretz Yisrael. And there they have a gabbai. Young guy, the guy is probably in his 30s. I never in my life saw what a gabbai, what it means a gabbai. He has a koich hadibur. Okay, not everyone is blessed with a koich hadibur, and he makes the mishaberach, and you hear every single syllable, and he says it with kavana, and he knows the people, and he knows what he's doing, and it's a performance. And I was like, my mind blown away. Young guy. This guy was like, his early 30s. This is a gabbai. This is the model of a gabbai. This guy should come to America and give seminars. how to be a gabbai. And I'm reading this shtickle over here in the Nidig Arviel, and we come to this, and he talks about, moid mishayirtsa, the gan samayso, mishnabura, the ber halacha, the whole tumult, and the area. And he talks about this idea of the one that's in danger is the gabbai. What? You begin to uncover, unravel, peel away, what is really going on there by the bima? What's going on over there? There's a lot going on there. There's a lot of depth. There's a lot of meaning. Who, what your role is. You're not just there. You're there for a reason. You're there for a reason. It has meaning. One thing I have to say, I have to apologize to anyone here, but Agabai Sheni, I can't find any makar for the significance of the Gabai Sheni. The Gabai Sheni, I can't really figure out what his role is. It doesn't seem, in many shuls, there are two people that flank, right? The Gabai Rishon, the Gabai Sheni. What does the Gabai Sheni do? I don't know. He's supposed to correct? He's supposed to help out? I don't know. But it doesn't seem in halacha it's really necessary that there be a Gabai Sheni. Doesn't seem
maybe
so.
He's the far laner. He's the guy that helps
supposed to help out
with the laning.
Could be. I don't know.
He puts the thing in front of the chumash to show him where he's holding.
Okay, wherever.
You have to have three people. So first Aliyah, he's necessary.
Why do you have that? No, why? You have three people. The first Aliyah, you have the Gabbai, you have the one who's reading, and the one that gets the Aliyah.
Before he's called up, even for those.
But many times you end up with five people by the Amid there, a normal time. So it could be a half a million, as a certain Chashiba, a half a million. I don't know.
Okay, it's something, is that anything? Okay, let's move.
Training position.
Let's move along to some other minhagim. Now let's talk about.
Excuse me, you have to remember that originally, if you laid your own aliyah, there would only be three people.
Two people then, when you the gabbai, right?
The Akuri and the Oyla, right? The same person.
Right, but
so there had to be one person flanking in there. So the minhag stayed Gabbai Rishon, Gabbai Sheni, because there was only the third person.
Since you want
the third,
three people.
Who was the Oyla.
Okay, maybe. Interesting. Like, obviously, if the minhag is strong.
Gabbai Sheni is a Gabbai Rishon in waiting.
If the minhag is to have a Gabbai Sheni, obviously. Obviously, there's something very deep in the Gabbai Sheni. What the role of the Gabbai Sheni? You want to say it's Yehoshua? If you want to go follow the pattern by Matan Torah, who was by Matan Torah? There was Moshe, Hashem, Moshe Klal Yisrael, and Yehoshua. Yeshua, he was able. He was in a different position. He entered closer than everyone else entered. Klal Yisrael was outside. He was given permission to come closer. That's not part, but Yeshua. So maybe once the Gabbai Sheni is become Yeshua, I didn't see it anywhere. Okay, but that's a different topic. All right, let's move on to more in Yanim of Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah. Let's talk about Erev Rosh Hashanah. Erev Rosh Hashanah. There are many special minhagim that one should just run into some basic things. Number one, Erev Rosh Hashanah, person. We get it very early, obviously, to say Slichos. It's a very, very long Slichos. And the fact that it has a special name, it's called Bris Avraham. Okay, we say in Erev Rosh Hashanah, this not just we say a Slicha, the whole theme. It's unfortunate that we don't really know what it says in the Slichos. It's like a closed book. What does it really say in all these Slichos? But there's a pattern, there's a theme, and the theme is the Pizmain. And the Pizmon is even more than one Pizmon. We have maybe all time, we'll spend some time studying the Slichos, of maybe just a bit. But it's called Beris Avraham. Erev Rosh Hashanah is devoted to focusing on the Akedah. On the Akedah, the Beris Avraham, Rosh Hashanah really is all about that. Now, we have to. If we study it, there's certainly going to be a difference between the focus of Rosh Hashanah and the focus of Erev Rosh Hashanah. Erev Rosh Hashanah is a day by itself, it's a world by itself. It's a whole world by itself, Erev Rosh Hashanah. And Erev Rosh Hashanah, the theme is the Bris Avraham. Is that the same thing as Rosh Hashanah? Rosh Hashanah is all about the Akedah. We blow the Shofar. Why? It's Feresh Gemara. I want that you should declare that Hashem is Melech. In order that I should remember this, that your zikaron should be oyle lefonai uvameh, how will you declare me to be the king by so that your memory will come before me through the shofar. That's the way we're going to be mamlech Hashem through the shofar. And what is the shofar? Go to the next level. The shofar is the Eloi Shel Yitzchak. The shofar is the Akedah. Avram was willing to offer Yitzchak his son on the Mizbech to Hashem as a korban. The Malach said, Al tishlach yodcha el hanar, vayis eino vayar vihine ayil. He took the ayil. The shofar shel ayil. We don't use an ayil for whatever reason, whatever, but that's what it is. The shofar is the Akedah. So Hashem says to Klal Yisrael, I demand that on this day you declare me to be the melech of this world to your benefit. It's to your benefit so that your zikaron is oyle lefanai. And the way you're going to do this is through the shofar. And what is the shofar? You're invoking the zechus of the Akedah. Erev Rosh Hashanah, that's exactly what we do. That's really what we do the whole Erev Rosh Hashanah. The whole nusach tefillah of Erev Rosh Hashanah is zechor b'ris Avraham. The covenant that Hashem made with Avraham, which is really concludes with the Akedah. The bris Avraham is the complete bris is the Akedah. So what then is the difference between Rosh Hashanah and Erev Rosh Hashanah? Well, we have to study the Slichos to really bring out the details, but on a very simple level, the difference is Erev Rosh Hashanah, we invoke the Zchus of the Akedah through the Koich of Tefillah. And in Rosh Hashanah, we invoke the Zchus of Avraham through the Shofar. So indeed, it's the same thing. It's the tool that is used to invoke the Zchus. On Rosh Hashanah, we use an object, a Maisa. We do a Maisa of blowing the Shofar. There are no words. Look what we have in our hand. We have in our hand the Akedah, the Eloi Shel Yitzchak, and it produces sound. That's it. No words. Erev Rosh Hashanah, we invoke the Zechus of the Akedah with words, not with the Shofar. In fact, B'davka, don't blow the Shofar. Why don't we blow the Shofar Erev Rosh Hashanah? Why not? So you ask a child, Kedela Arvev HaSatan, that we want to confuse the Satan. We want the Satan to think that there's no more Shofar. We're done with it. We put it away. It's all over. He goes away. And then, shock, the next day we blow the Shofar. This year it's Shabbos. Anyway, we're not going to blow the Shofar on Shabbos. The next day is Shabbos. Okay, that's Torah Misinai. Others want to say, it's forget about the Satan. It's for us. We want it to be fresh. Well, we'll take a break for a day. So when we come to Rosh Hashanah, it should be fresh. That's the case. So why only one day? Take off for three. Some talk of the last 3 days, you shouldn't blow the shofar. It's a much deeper reason. You know why you're not going to blow the shofar on Erev Rosh Hashanah? Because today we're going to do the same exact thing we're going to do tomorrow without the shofar. Being that the nusach tefillah and the Avodas Hayoim of Erev Rosh Hashanah is the Bris Avraham, is the Akedah. So if you can do the Akedah, so take out the ultimate symbol of the Akedah, the Eloi Shel Yitzchak. Take out the symbol. B'davka, no! Erev Rosh Hashanah, you get up very early. It's a very long slichos, 2 hour slichos, all focused on the theme of the Akedah without the Shofar. Now, what's the benefit of without? Okay, I don't know. Yeah, this is something which is a little too deep for me, but it's a contrast. It's like so, there's a Rosh Hashanah, there's a symbol. But you know, it's almost like what we learned today in the Malbum about the Beis HaMikdash. Hashem tells us build the Beis HaMikdash, the Asuli Mikdash. Okay, Asuli, build a building. What's the Beis HaMikdash? A magnificent building. Magnificent building. What do? You take animals and you slaughter them. And there's blood, and there are fats, and there's fire. Yeah. And what's all this about? Well, the most important element, the Malbum says, Chagai says, This is meaningless. The building is meaningless. The mizbeach is meaningless. The animals are meaningless. What counts is the infusion of the sanctity into your heart and soul and into paying attention to what you're actually doing. Rosh Hashanah is the Beis HaMikdash. The Rosh Hashanah, you take an object which represents the Akedah, and it produces a sound with no words. So I've gone through the motions. Anyone can blow a shofar. A monkey can blow a shofar. You blow, anyone can blow, you put it in the mouth, and you, okay, not anyone, you have to be trained a little bit how to blow a shofar. You have to be trained a little bit how to, you know, to get the words. I saw something very beautiful recently. I saw one, so they wrote about Rabbi Keller. Rabbi Keller from Tel Chicago passed away, a very holy person. He was the Baal Tokeya. So one of his Talmidim was writing about him. So he says, he taught me how to blow. He was the Baal Tokeya in Tels, in Chicago, Rabbi Keller, Rabbi Avram Chaim, and his name was Avram Chaim, I think his name was, Doiv, I forget, Rabbi Keller. He was the Baal Tokeya, he taught me how to be a Baal Tokeya. He told me, don't blow into the shofar. Breathe into the shofar. That's his advice that stuck with him his whole life. Breathe into the shofar. Don't blow the shofar. Breathe the shofar. It's certain things stick with you, right? You read a whole article. I don't remember anything I read, but that I remember. That had a roshim on me. Breathe into the shofar. But it's just an object which produces sound. You're missing the whole point. It's not the object. It's not the physical object and the sound that can be produced even by a monkey. It's the infusion. I shouldn't say that. You don't like that. Mark is very upset, getting animated. Don't say that. It's not the object and the sound. It's the infusion of sanctity. And the way to show that is get rid of the shofar. Get rid of it. Arois. Out of the Beis Medrash. Not because of the Satan, not because you want to be, it should be fresh tomorrow. It's because, do you get it? Do you get what this is all about? It's not about the object. It's not about building the Beis HaMikdash. It's about you, your heart and soul. So today we're going to focus on what we're doing tomorrow, bedavka, without the shofar. Because if you're going to blow the shofar every Rosh Hashanah, you're going to make a mistake and think, oh, the whole thing is a shofar. Everything that we say in the slichas is just dressing. It's just packaging for the shofar. And it doesn't really matter. It's the object. No! Get the shofar out of the shul. Focus on the message. Zichor Bris Avraham. That's the theme. This is the juxtaposition of the slichas of Erev Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah. It's a very powerful wake-up call to remember the object is not what's important. It's the sanctity and the meaning behind, and that's what you say, all of the slichas focus on that major theme. Okay, that's not blowing the shofar and saying a very long slichas, and the slichas called Zichor Bris Avraham. Okay, there's a minig Erev Rosh Hashanah to go to the mikvah. Now this is a minog. The only time that really, I don't know how to break it up into madregot, into different obligations. The only time that you really should go should be Yom Kippur, Erev Yom Kippur. Erev Yom Kippur, I can't tell, it's not a halacha. I don't think it's a halacha. The best of my knowledge, it's not a halacha, it's a minug. But it's a very strong, powerful minug to go to the mikveh Erev Yom Kippur. Because teshuvah. You're not going to the mikveh, we always talk about, people go to the mikveh Erev Shabbos, they're going for what's called Tosefes Kedusha, to bring upon them an additional Darug of Kedusha. There's going to mikveh for Tevilas Ezra. If a person has an emission, it brings upon him Tumah. So you go to mikveh to remove that degree of contamination. If a person does not have an emission, so why is he going Erev Shabbos? A different reason. I'm not going for Tila. I'm going because adding sanctity. When you go to the mikvah Erev Rosh Hashanah, it's none of the above. Now, a nida has to go midaraisa. Okay, that's a gzeres hakosef. Gzeres hakosef, a nida has to go to mikvah, period. Okay, there's nothing to discuss. That's a whole different mikvah. A woman going to nida, it's a whole different world. What about a man going Erev Yom Kippur? That's a whole different reason. That's called teshuva. Part of the chazal we're misaking. This is a takonas chazal. Part of the process of doing teshuva is going to mikvah. And that is why people don't know this. Balei teshuva. People who were mechalei Shabbos their whole life and no fault of their own. The tinik shenishba. They were brought up irreligious. And then they go to a seminar. And all of a sudden, one thing leads to another. They find themselves 15 years later. Their children are all in yeshivas and they're living a life as if they were from birth. Did they ever go to the mikvah? They have to go to mikvah. Some people, part of the process of doing teshuva is an obligation to go to mikvah. Going Erev Yom Kippur is part of the process of teshuva, not part of Tosefes Kedusha, not part of Tfilas Keri, not part of Nida. It's a process of teshuva. What about going to mikveh Erev Rosh Hashanah? It's not teshuva. It's not. I mean, you'll say you're saying slichas. It's just l'chvod Yom Tov, in honor of Yom Tov, Tosefes Kedusha. To bring upon yourself some holiness, that's not takana. Therefore, it's not such a great obligation. And in fact, many people don't. Not everyone goes to mikveh Erev Rosh Hashanah. This year, I don't know what's going to be this year. This year, certainly a lot of people are frightened. And especially when you have people going to mikveh in large, massive numbers. Okay, people are going to mikveh. So obviously this year, a lot of people are not going to be going to mikveh. That's the halacha. Chamira sakanta yosem esur, even Erev Yom Kippurim. If you can't go, you can't go. If a person is in danger, there's always a problem going to mikvah today with it's called cellulitis. A lot of people have issues. People get it's very, mikvah is not well kept. Even if it is well kept, just walking on the floor of the mikvah, walking on the room before you go into the mikvah. They can be, the person has open any pores, it can be dangerous. So in general, older people have issues going to mikvah. So certainly this year, a lot of people are going to be frightened. Kol hakavod. I mean, that's the halacha. That's the halacha. You don't have to apologize for anything. But
use a shower head.
Tisha Kabin.
Right.
Tisha Kabin. Okay, you do that the whole year round. Tisha Kabin is, it's not mikvah. Mikvah is mikvah. Tisha Kabin is a substitute for a mikvah. The ikar is mikvah. All right, so whatever, that's obvious. But there is a minog to go to mikvah Erev Rosh Hashanah. It's not the same level as going to mikvah Erev Yom HaKippurim. Erev Yom HaKippurim is mishum teshuvah. Erev Rosh Hashanah is mishum tosefes kiddush, to sanctify yourself for Yom Tov. Okay, there's another minig to go to the cemetery, Erev Rosh Hashanah. To go to the cemetery today, it's not so easy because it takes a lot of time, there's traffic, and you have other things to do, Erev Rosh Hashanah. But I guess in ancient times, the cemetery was the edge of the city, wasn't a big deal. On the way home from shul, you go to the cemetery for 5 minutes. It's not a big deal to reflect. Why do you go to the cemetery? What's the reason? So people will say, oh, you're going there to, you should pray, they should pray for you. So selfish to do that. You go to the cemetery, you say to all the dead people, all you dead people, you have nothing to do anyway. Pray for me. Pray for me. I need help. I'm alive. You're all dead. You're all dead. You have nothing to do with yourselves anyway, so you might as well pray for me. I need some help. I have a lot of problems. I got a lot of problems. That's so selfish. You don't even go to the mikvah to pray for them. Just like you're going to have din tomorrow, they're going to have din tomorrow. All of their accomplishments and their achievements are going to be reassessed. They're going to be reevaluated. Let's see what happened another year went by. Let's see what did you leave over in this world? Children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, are they good? Are they causing problems? Are they giving you nachas? You think I got problems? The dead people have even bigger problems. So you don't go to the cemetery because you're selfish for yourself. You pray for me. You go there to pray for them. You go there to reflect. These people also need. And that's the name of the game. You pray for someone else, your din is totally different. When, not because the Ribbono Shel Olam says Kol HaMispal Bat Chaveroi Nenetchila. That's forget about that. You're a different person. When your primary concern is someone else, it's not just about you, it's about someone else. In Shemayim, when they judge you, there's a whole different din. They look at you as a different type of person. Different din. A whole different, the checkout counter. There's the express, and there's the regular. And then there's the super express. You can do it yourself. Some, they don't know if they still, they're not suited too much anymore. You can check out yourself. They have, still have that. I didn't see that. They tried those experiments a couple of years ago in some supermarkets. They let you check out yourself. You ever see that? They had it in the pharmacies. Some of the pharmacies, they let you check out yourself. You go and you scan it yourself and you swipe. They trust you. Shocking. They were like, they would trust you. I don't know. They have people, cameras. They're watching you. Cameras watching you.
Yeah, you're being watched.
You're being watched, right? So they're all
no,
different.
No, but it's more than that. If you don't scan an item, the bell rings when you walk out of the store.
Also. Okay. So they're all different types. We all know that when you check out, there are many ways to check out. When you leave Eretz Yisrael, you go through passport control, right? They're all different types of celebrity. Everyone has a different, you know, all different ways to check out. So when there's din, there's a whole different smorgasbord of all different types of din. What kind of din do you want? You want to go on the long line where they scrutinize you? You don't want to go on that line. You want to go on the express. Well, who are you? If you're a person that cares about someone else, then you have a whole different din. Going to the cemetery is not just about asking the dead to pray for you. It's about they also tomorrow are subject to din, and they also need some help. And a person should go there to reflect upon them. Okay, other minhagim we have Erev Rosh Hashanah. I'm forgetting. Give me 1 second. Look at my notes.
Rabbi,
yes.
A lot of people go Elo. Is that the?
We do that out of practicality because you don't have time. Erev Rosh Hashanah, you don't want to start getting caught in traffic. Erev Rosh Hashanah, going to a cemetery. Okay, you go to the Washington Cemetery. It's not so far away, but that's out of practicality. So we go during Elul, or you go during the first day of Slichos because it's just push it. It's not practical. Okay, there's a minute to fast. Okay, it's a fast day. This used to be a big thing. I vaguely remember as a child. Vaguely remember people. People would really fast. It was a big deal. They would fast half a day. People would really fast, seriously. Erev Rosh Hashanah, they would fast. They would fast a half a day in order to put them into the proper frame of mind of the Emas, the Emas Hadin. Okay, Erev Rosh Hashanah, there's a minog. Okay, we don't see this either. I thought they did this on Yom Kippur, but it seemed they did this on Erev Rosh Hashanah. You get Malkos. No one does this today. The Gabbai has a field day. Everyone lines up, lies down on the floor, and they whip you lightly. A symbolic type of malchus. Kol chayve kresos. The Gemara says anyone that's chayev kares, who receives lashes, he's potter from kares. Every time a person does an avera, let's say a person eats chaylev, he eats forbidden fats, he's chayev kares. But he also violated aloy sase. So if there are witnesses, and they give you, and there's hasra, and they come to Bezdin. So Bezdin takes you and they whip you. They give you 39 lashes, and then your soul is saved. Your neshama is saved. There's no chiv karis. Person rachmana litzim mechal Shabbos. So if there are witnesses, they'll kill him. Skila. If there are no witnesses, what does he get? Karis. That's pretty scary. But if you go, but could he be, there's no malchus. Think about it. There's no malchus for Shabbos, but there is this principle that let's just talk about it. Let's say chaylev, other types of, let's say arayos. If a person gets malchus in Bezdin, he's exempt from kares. We do not know what kares is. No one knows what kares is. Not in our generation, anyway. What is kares? The soul is the nichrasa nefeshahi. The soul is cut off. What does that mean? What does that mean? There's one story that I like very much about which when I think about Chorus, I find a lot of nechama in this story from the Satmar Rav. The Satmar Rav, so maybe someone in the shir told me the story. The Satmar Rav, there was a balabas, there was one of his chassidim, and the Satmar Rav wanted him to be the Baal Tzfila. I don't remember the details. Maybe the Yom Narom, maybe it was Musaf, maybe it was Shachris, maybe it was Slichus. He wanted him to do something that was very, very, very choshev. And he smoked on Shabbos. He mamash smoked on Shabbos.
And the Baba Rebbe.
The Baba Rebbe? Yeah. So what maybe you told me the story. The Baba, you told me the story?
No, it was written up recently.
He wanted him to eat the Baba, he wanted him with the Davin on Davin, Davin Yom Narom?
No,
Davin was Shabbos.
On Shabbos, to be the Baal Mul. He let him Davin.
The way I heard it was he was Tevea from him. I heard it differently. I heard that he mamish.
All right, we'll talk later.
He demanded, and the Hasidim were very disturbed. They said, Rebbe, he smokes on Shabbos. It's a Mechal Shabbos. What are you doing? For the Olam here, Chosh people. So he said to him, he's not smoking. That's Hitler who's smoking. He's not smoking. Adolf Hitler, Yimach Shemo, is smoking. That's who's smoking. Kachava, he let him daven. Slowly and surely, it was choyze b'shuva, and you would never know. So when you say a person's chayiv koras, don't judge so fast what that means. Person does averos. Don't judge who's doing the avera. Who's doing the Avera? You doing the Avera? Or there's some demon in you doing the Avera? Who's doing the Avera? I know it's a very dangerous thing, you know, it goes both ways. It's a very dangerous type, but we don't know what Chorus is. But anything Chazal say, a person who gets Malkois, who gets whipped, Potter from Chorus. So it used to be people would get Malkois. I thought it was Erev Yom Kippur. They get Malchus. They did the Erev Yom Kippur. But he says Erev Hashanah. He says they did this minig on Erev Hashanah. Again, we don't do this. This is not something you do not see. There's another minig to buy a new knife. My mother never she never lived it down. My father would tell my mother, you know, to buy a new knife. Erev Rosh Hashanah. To buy a new knife. And my mother said, what? I have nothing better to do Erev Rosh Hashanah to go buy a new knife. So my it was always like a joke in the house. Like my father would tell my mother to do certain chumr, certain minhagim. My mother would say, what? What are you talking about? But there is brought down to purchase a new knife. Why? A knife is, what do you do with this? This is like a Kabbalistic inyan. I'm just telling you some of these things that are just, not that we do them, we don't do these things, but it gives a little flavor in what Rosh Hashanah is about. A knife you used to cut. Chatach. Poseach es yodecha. Umaspia l'chol chai rotzai. We say this pasuk 3 times a day. This pasuk is understood to capture the essence of parnasa. Parnasa, you could never have enough money, especially in the 21st century. You have children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. They'll come after you for tuition forever. You can never have enough money. Everyone needs parnasa. Poseach es yodecha. So the soif teva is of poseach es yodecha. The last letters of poseach is ches. Es is tov. Yodecha is chof. Cha tach. Those 3 letters. Now, I'm not in Yoni Kabbalah. Forget about Kabbalah. Those means to cut. To cut. A knife is used to cut. So somehow, some way, in some very complex sequence in the worlds of the Nestorim, a knife, purchasing a knife, is a reminder. Don't forget, it's Rosh Hashanah. The gates of Shemaim are open. You can use a good parnasa this year. Life is expensive. The real estate taxes are through the roof. You can use a couple of bucks, daven for your parnasa. So when you buy a new knife and you're sitting the whole Rosh Hashanah Friday night, oh, look at this, a new knife. He cut the challah. Wow. Like butter. Right? Like butter. The whole year, you got to struggle. Look at that. Chatach. The new knife. It slices through the bread. Chatach. Poseach es yodecha. Yeah, you know you're right. I better daven tomorrow for parnasa. I better have a lot of kavana tomorrow. I need a couple of bucks this year to get through the year. So forget about all Kabbalah. Be practical. Either you buy a new knife or you sharpen a new knife. It's a reminder of this is definitely a minhag that was done. Now there's some minhagim not to do. Another thing, is do you wear new clothing for Rosh Hashanah? So interesting is no. I don't know if people follow these rules. Maybe Rosh Hashanah, you buy new clothing, you buy a new dress, you know, I buy a new suit. The Baal Tokeya actually is advised to wear a new suit on the second day Rosh Hashanah. So when he makes the Shechiyanu, take away any suffix of a bracha levatala on the second day Rosh Hashanah. But the person, if you're not the Baal Tokeya, the Baal Tekiya, you're not blowing shofar and you're not doing a service, should you bedavka purchase a new suit, a new pair of shoes, a new hat, a new talis for Rosh Hashanah? No, it seems it's not proper. You should wear in big the yomtiv, nice clothing, nicer even than Shabbos, but not new. Why not? The same reason we do not say Hallel on Rosh Hashanah is the reason why you should not be purchasing new wearing new clothing. We don't say Hallel Russian. Why? It's a yomtiv. Why not? Because the Sifrei Chaim, the Sifrei Mesim Apsuchim, it's a Yoyim Hadin. It's not a day to be merry. It's not a day to sing Hallel with a nigun and to lock, you know, and to stand shoulder to shoulder. That's not what Rosh Hashanah is all about. It's the Yoyim Hadin. And that's why there's no Hallel. As an extension of there not being Hallel, it's not a time to wear new clothing. Because it gives you a joy, a great simcha, which takes you away from the focus that today is the Yoyim Hadin. So you wear beautiful clothing, but from last year. Save the new clothing for Sukkos. That's talk of the time. V'samachta b'chagecha, new clothing. That's the time to put on the new clothing, not to put on the new clothing for Rosh Hashanah. Some say that it's not necessarily true. You can do it. You can wear new clothing. It's okay. Just not to wear new shoes. Not to wear new shoes in Russian. Why not? I guess maybe she'osali kol tzarki. I guess in ancient times, there was no greater simcha than wearing new shoes. New shoes represented like, wow. There's a technicality if you make a shechiyanu on new shoes. Because it's leather. It came from animals. Many places can say it's not true. Many places can say you can make a shechiyanu on new shoes. You can make a shechiyanu on new shoes if you have pleasure. If you really have pleasure, you just don't give a bracha to a person that you should wear them out. Because if you tell them you should wear them out, it means they're going to have to kill another animal to get a replacement for your shoes. But once already you have the shoes to make a shechiyanu just because it comes from leather and they killed an animal, listen, I didn't go tell them to make these new shoes. That's not my problem. They killed an animal to make the new shoes. Don't blame me. So for me, it's a benefit. So you can make a shechiyanu. Just don't give the bracha that they should kill more animals to make new shoes. So you can't make a shechiyanu according to many poskim. Some say no, whatever. But even if whether you make a shechiyanu, you don't make a shechiyanu when you're wearing new shoes. But it is a very great simcha. Mr. Elman, have a nice day. It is a very great simcha to wear new shoes, and that's not proper on Rosh Hashanah when the Sifrei Chaim, Sifrei Meis Mapsuchim. All right, so we did many of the minhagim. We have to really move forward. There are other things will come to Mir Tashem, Bli Neder, maybe going to Shofar, Simonim. We have to properly gauge our pace so we go through some more topics. Have a wonderful
today,
day.
Today the minig is for the Rebbe to lay down and everybody wants the rabbi.
Only a rabbi would say that. Only a rabbi would say that.
Kaya.
Have a wonderful day.
Make it a great day.
Make it a great day.
They don't rip him. They walk all over him. That's all. For Rabbi Levine.
Yes.
There was a shul in
Rabbi Levine.
There was a shul in the five towns with the mini one.
The KB.
Used to use the Torah, the Teufcha. And that year, he didn't want to take it anymore. and they won't give the dividend balabantams, and nobody wants to take it. So a few of the balabantams said, you know what, they'll chip in. Each five guys would chip in $40 each. I have $200. And you send the gabbai during the week to Farak away. And you'll find like maybe a Kailu guy or maybe a poor guy. And they can give them they'll offer $200 to walk into the five towns to take the teich. And they told the guy, he asked him what time he davened. He said, we davened 9 o'clock. It comes 9 o'clock, he's not there. Comes to Krishna, he's not there. Comes to Shemoneh Esrei, he's not there. They start laning. By Shlishi, he's not there. By Revi, he's not there. Finally, by Shishi, he walks in and he gets the Aliyah. Fine. So at the end of davening, they all go over to him. His name is Chaim Yankel. He said, Chaim Yankel, what did you come so late for? He says, from one teicher I can make a living from?
It's not his first stop. I know, it's a famous, yeah. I always say this over. It's a very popular joke.
Rabbi Levine and Baruch, the story with the Bavli Rebbe with Michal Shabbos is a couple of versions. First of all, they asked Naftolchuk, his son, went looking for him. And some people say the Hasidim were upset. So it's a different version.
Different versions.
And the way you say it's Hitler, it's the Dutch. It's the German that is doing it.
Different versions, yeah. Probably it was probably.
He came later to a fish, years later, he came to a fish and reminded the Rebbe, I was the one who was a smoker. And he had Baruch Shem, he had Doris.
Yeah, it's a pikhus. See, that's a pikhus. A pikhus to how to say it, what to say, to diffuse a difficult situation. Also, the Sadm Rebbe, another very beautiful, similar story. The Sadm Rebbe made, after the war, he made a shir with some of the survivors. Maybe you told me this story. Probably you told me. With the survivors, and he tells, we learn Gemara. They come for an hour. Not one word. Open up the page. Not one word. He just schmoozes. Tell me, where do you come from? Your family, this. Not a word. The hour's over. Close the Gemara. Second day. Same thing, close the Gemara. So I said, Rebbe, are we here to learn? The Masechta begins Daf Beis. We spent a whole week learning Daf Aleph. We have to first, you know.
That's very good. I never heard that.
Mechazik each other. These are Sebrochen the people.
My Shrez, according to the Racha, he was sitting Shiva from one of his daughters. So a man came into him, and he started to talk to him. This was like a knowledgeable person, just he didn't have no brains. He started to ask him, like, how old were you when the war started, this and that? And he says, what yeshiva did you go to? So Ashrael looked him in the eye, he says, I went to Hitler's yeshiva.
What do you mean by that?
The year, his formative years, he was in the concentration camp.
That's what he meant, That's a spooky answer to say such a thing like that. That's a disturbing.
So the guy asked the question like that for me.